This is just to welcome you all to our annual New York Press Lunch and to thank you for coming. I enjoy it immensely, and so does the staff who works with you. That's our one chance during the year to greet you and thank you for all the things you do which facilitate our work, whether they're critical or approving, is immaterial. The fact is that my job is to serve the people and for them to know about it, whichever way you judge it. As I think you all know me very well by now. I ain't mad at nobody and never was. It's your job and it's my job, and you do what you have to do, and I do what I believe I need to do. But always at these very nice luncheons, we open the floor to any questions anybody has, any philosophical observations, including me, that is, and anything you want is on the record, or if you want it off the record, just say so. And so anyone who has anything they would like to say or ask, more than welcome. Yeah. I'll sit, so otherwise these microphones won't work.
Governor Kerry and Mayor Dean, the Vice President said that changing some of these things is a legislative process. Have you any idea or any plan or works to get emergency money from New York to save off the subway carriages?
It's my judgment that New York can do very well with its problems in the programs which I'm pursuing and to which I'm ardently devoted, and that to therefore try some special deal for New York City would be highly counterproductive. Now let me give you practical examples. New York, now that it's caught up with itself, I think will handle public service employment well. And I think it'll get a good break out of it. The mass transit situation, it's already made some progress in and will make more, because we may very well turn very strongly to mass transit in order to reduce the utilization of fuel in automobiles. We may also turn to it because it could be a very good means for employment. And so would have a double benefit, just like many are now advocating spending several billion dollars to rehabilitate the railroads of the country, because it's highly desirable for transportation reasons and because it gives a rather employment at a rather broad, low level, to wit, generally speaking, unskilled labor. And New York will benefit very materially from all of these things. Now, my judgment is that if New York makes a success of programs, it will have respect and will do better in participation. And secondly, that aside from the success, I believe that if New York handles its programs in which it deals with the federal government with efficiency, there are many more programs it can participate in. It needs to be very alert to participation. For example, the drive just put on to get more money respecting narcotics addiction is very, very pertinent. I'm sure we will pass a bill for the rehabilitation of public hospitals. You know, it was incorporated in one of the bills that was vetoed by President Ford. And that will be very helpful to New York. Similarly, there's a considerable expectation of a material revival in housing. Greenspan predicted this morning that housing starts would move from 1 million at the end of last year to 1.7 million. in the course of 1975. And they could go further than that. The new housing law is very congenial to that kind of increase. You have these agitations about relieving the burden on the New York City police of dealing with the UN. Again, there is a possibility for some federal help. In short, I believe that New York can do much better with the federal government, taking the benefit of the programs which are ongoing or may be legislated, and that it would be counterproductive, raise suspicions, and cost New York money if you tried to get some particular program for New York City.
Senator, if I could follow Dick's question up, do you feel that that Vice President Rockefeller will bend over backwards not to favor New York? For example, at one of Governor Kerry's first meetings with the Vice President, the Vice President's reported to have said in reference to Griffiths Air Force Base, well, you got to realize I'm not governor of New York anymore. I got to worry about the whole country.
Well, I think the governor does have to worry about the whole country, but I still have certain faith that he is a native New Yorker, that he's very well aware of its needs, that he does have great access to the president, and that he can be very helpful, not just to New York City alone or the state, but to other comparably placed cities. He is a man who has an urban orientation and an urban understanding. I do think that it's asking too much to ask him to become a special pleader for New York State or New York City, and that simply is asking another man to do what most men wouldn't do themselves in his position. I don't think that's fair.
Senator, if you had a grade Jerry Ford as president, what sort of grade would you give
him? I would say that President Ford stepped into an office from another office which was far, far away from the presidency. He didn't even have the degree of seasoning which comes from being governor of a state, let us say, having an executive post. And he came with a set of equipment ideally adapted to his job and his locale, but not adapted to being president of the United States. And it's taking some time for him to learn the job. And I think he's beginning to show commendable courage in that regard. I don't agree with his sense of priorities, but I do think it's significant that he realizes the country is so perilously situated that you have to incur a deficit in excess of $50 billion, which it seems to me, if he was still thinking as the minority leader of the House, would just be anathema to him. He couldn't begin to contemplate it. So I believe that the president is a maturing personality, learning while he is being president, which is, unfortunately for our situation, the very best you can ask. But I really think he's learning a great deal, and he'll be a very different man every day than he was the day before. I really look forward with considerable hopefulness to the development of our president.
Senator, you said, if I may, you said something that kind of piqued me there about you feeling it's wrong to ask the Vice President to be a spokesman for New York in the Vice Presidency. Does that indicate you think it's kind of a no sense in having Hugh Carey and Abe Beame come down here and say, do something for us?
Oh, not at all. Hugh Carey and Abe Beame have to come down and say, do something for us. It's almost their duty. And the President, the Vice President, should constantly be reminded of his New York origins and what he knows about the big urban cities and their plight. No, I think it's extremely useful. All that I meant is that you cannot be resentful or angry with Governor Rockefeller if he doesn't become a special agent for New York down here. just can't ask that of it.
So do you think those trips do any good?
Yes, I think they...
In what manner?
Well, they give him, keep him abreast of what's going on, make him feel how keenly New Yorkers feel about it, and I'm sure have an influence on his thinking and where he's advocating something for urban relief, will advocate it even more diligently with that kind of push in mind. No, I don't think it's useless at all. I do not. I do not see any place for former President Nixon in politics or diplomacy or in the Republican or as a Republican Party spokesman. Now, what the future holds, who knows? But as we stand now and look down the road, that's my feeling.
Senator, how do you respond to the
to which? Well, I think they're highly commendable. I think your paper is to be highly commended for having unearthed it. And I believe they should be pursued, especially with a very strong desire to profit from them. I might tell you that I've authored a Bill of Rights for the mentally retarded, which is now incorporated essentially in law. And I'm giving consideration to the possibility of authoring a similar concept for the aged, some fundamental set of criteria which would have to be observed if you would qualify for any kind of federal participation in the care of the aged. I think that, but I have not, Marty, tried to, you know, crash the party. I think what Senator Morse and Senator Percy and Andrew Stein are doing is fine, and nothing I can add to that. If I could, I'd be glad to do it. But I am directing my mind toward what I do know something about and possibly can help.
Senator Morse's investigation has been going on for 10 years now, and the conditions of the nursing home are seem to improve that much. Is this an unusual delay in action?
Sounds like an unusual delay, but it always takes some scandal like this to force people into action. Now, sometimes diligence will unearth scandals without them necessarily breaking out all over. I've had that experience in the pension reform measure, where diligent hearings and investigation produced a scandalous situation, which many did not know existed. In this case, it seems to have broken out all over, and I believe that the moment has come when some action is possible.
One last question is, what would that Bill of Rights entail?
Well, it would entail like the Bill of Rights for the mentally retarded, it would be a set of standards in terms of rights which an aged person is entitled if confined to a home or hospital on a permanent basis. In the Bill of Rights for the mentally retarded, we went into great detail, you know, as to hygiene and visitors and so on. And this would be the same kind of an approach.
Senator, can I get back to Connie?
Go ahead. I'll come to you next. What?
Yeah.
Relative lack of experience in the House with the federal governor.
Yeah.
Use the same comparison to members of the knowledge. How you, one of your colleagues, Jackson, who is announcing tonight, and others are coming up. Do you think the Senate is no longer a good training ground?
I do not. I think the Senate is a great training ground because it includes, because of the Constitution, very considerable activity and participation in foreign affairs, which is very valuable. I think there's a certain sense of authority in representing a whole state and in a much smaller body, which we have. And there's a lot to be said for the learning process in a presidential campaign, which President Ford did not have. Senator Jackson is announcing, I understand, tonight. That gives him a year, a good year and a half. And he will really be schooled not only in the issues but in the debate in all that time. That's a very healthy experience. And President Ford's been in office 5 months and came from an absolute standing start.
I think Harry Truman once said the presidency is a hell of a place to learn how to be president.
Well,
couldn't
that's
that
very
be equated to a mayor, a governor, a house member, or a senator?
It certainly could, except that the responsibility in the presidency is so awesome, it's so broad, that I think it can be equated in quality, but the quantity here is almost unfathomable. Yes, so let me ask Connie.
I don't know if you want to comment on this, but do you think Senator Jackson's support of Israel is going to hurt his presidential chance?
I do not wish to pass on that. Whatever Senator Jackson's prospects are within the Democratic Party. I don't wish to in any way affect that. If you want to ask me any question about the agreement to which I was a party, I'll be happy to answer that. Well, if you want to ask me specifically about that, I'll be glad to answer.
Okay, well, just regarding Jackson, is there anything new on the agreement?
No. I, of course, was deeply disappointed that the agreement did not go into effect because of the rejection by the Soviet of the trade agreement. I doubt very much that same form is likely to be duplicated. But I believe, it's my belief, that within a period of this year, we will come to some other accommodation with the Soviet Union, which will include all the same elements that were included in this one. But I don't believe it's going to be arrived at the same way, and I don't know what the terms of it will be. But I believe we will, within this year, come to some accommodation on the same elements.
Senator, I'd like to comment on the possible challenge to Senator Buckley by Congressman Tizer in next year's primary.
I have no feelings at this time. All that I've said, and I'll repeat it. Pardon? Well, I always, the effort of people to make progress in the party has always been healthy. The Democrats don't seem to have suffered from that at all. They had a terrible Donnybrook and end up the victors. So I can't see that that's fatal. However, there are cases in which a primary fight could tear a party apart. Whether this will be such a case, I would not wish to judge yet.
Senator, do you think New York likes the idea of having one liberal and one conservative senator?
Well, they elected me by a pretty good margin in a very tough year, so they must like the idea.
Senator, Mike? Would you think a member of the House and Senate Majority Leader would be ill-equipped
to be
president?
No. No, not necessarily. I really don't feel that way necessarily, but I pointed out that the route to the presidency is itself an enormous training, which President Ford did not have.
Senator, could you explain what your belief is?
Mutual necessity. I believe the mutual necessity is the interest of the Soviet Union in detente, and the feeling that the situation which resulted from the trade agreement and what will be continued protest against the Soviet treatment of Soviet Jewry will remain an irritant. As the United States is equally interested in detente as well as in human rights, I think there's a conjunction of mutuality of interest, which will result in some kind of an arrangement. Now, what it will be, I can't divine. No, not that I know of. I think the matter is being let to rest where it is. But because there's such a mutuality of interest by the parties, it is almost inconceivable to me that a new effort will not be made.
What do you expect the congressional response to be on the Vietnam and Turkish matters?
Well, I hope very much that Turkey will think better of its situation and will give some ground on the issue of Cyprus negotiations and real assurances that there's no effort to maintain that position by force.
In other words, you don't expect Congress to.
No, I don't.
Now,
I really don't. But I hope, because Congress will be very receptive to any overture which results from a policy of Turkey.
And on Vietnam.
On Vietnam, I think the burden of proof is very heavily on the administration to demonstrate that because we operated there with troops for so long and therefore were responsible, importantly, for keeping that nation at war and for causing so much destruction of life and property there, that in a sense we owe them as a moral debt yet this further measure of support. That is very considerably compromised by the operations of the Thieu government, which is certainly not popular here. I do not wish to make a prediction on some kind of a wish fulfillment basis. I'll just state for myself, I'm very cool about it, and I have to be convinced. I'm not prepared today to vote for this $300 million package.
I should have added the Cambodian thing.
Yeah, that's about $200 million.
Yeah,
I think that's a different set of criteria. But also a question of decision as to the benefit to the national interest of the United States in preserving the Lon Nol regime in Cambodia. We must consider that both these regimes could go down the drain if we didn't aid with money. And that's a factor, but it's by no means the decisive factor. So I'm uncommitted on both of those. They are different, and I'm very cool about them both for different reasons.
Senator, can I get back to Richard Nixon for just a moment? There are those who say that history will show President Nixon's foreign achievements far outweighed a minor burglary. You are, in effect, saying that Richard Nixon has no place in the Republican Party now?
Well, I'm saying he certainly can't be a spokesman for the Republican Party. I don't see it. I said, standing here and looking down the road, I don't see it. And to judge history, you know, within a few months of when it was made on such a monumental scale is always dangerous. I believe that history will, as I read it now, history will rather be disappointed that Nixon should have mucked up what could have been a very important American foreign policy record with such immorality as was reflected by Watergate.
Well, do you see
such discredit to the office of the presidency.
Do you see any role at all for former President Nixon? Do you think perhaps he had just best kind of go into the woodwork and stay there?
Well, I don't see a role, no. What he does about the woodwork, that's up to him.
I mean, in any governmental field whatsoever.
I don't see a role, no. My answer to that would be no.
Senator, if I may ask you a question on another subject. I found universal displeasure up here with the president's budget. Among the Democrats, as to be expected, but among the Republicans as well, left and right. What do you think this Congress will do with that budget and his program?
Well, my judgment
is pertinent because I've got to write about it.
My judgment is that the general confines of the budget are likely to be fairly set as the president has set them out. That is what you're going to spend. What you're going to spend it for will be varied. And in my judgment, the energy part of it will be very materially varied. And that's what I think will be the ultimate result.
How?
Well, I think we will go more to endeavoring to conserve by direct law, allocation, rationing, et cetera, than by price. I think that's the real issue. And I believe also that Congress may extend the President's budget further in order to relieve the worst rigors of the recession, as, for example, in my own bill today, respecting a massive public service jobs program. Also, I believe that Congress may be much more enterprising than the President in the effort to accelerate the accomplishments possible under Project Independence. I think that's one of the big defects of the President's budget, in addition to shortchanging the relief of unemployment and giving large increase to defense. And I would be less than honest if I didn't tell you that I think we're going to have to reevaluate the whole defense situation in terms of the draft. I think you all know that I am not for a volunteer army. I hate to say I told you so.
Senator, the President...
It's very possible. It's possible, because this is a very, very tough nut. We're facing it now, as people like Ted Kennedy and I said we would, not just financially. You're facing it in terms of the defense capability of the United States and the capability of its forces. Pardon? I don't want to get into that. I'm not prepared to get into it. I'm only saying that it seems to me that we have to put that on the table for review, the validity of the volunteer army policy. And the fact that Nixon is no longer president is a material factor. He was as dug in as that on that as Gerry Ford seems to be on rationing.
Are you saying this volunteer army is not as good as the draft and volunteer
army? I'm not trying to evaluate it. I just say that we have very material problems with it, both financial and in terms of capability.
Well, that's what I mean. If you have problems in capability, that means...
I didn't say it's not as good. It's got to be evaluated. I mean, it's widely discussed. It's nothing new with me. And I'm impressed with the points which are being raised.
Senator, without going into details on this, but in general, what would you do about or would like to see done on the energy policy? You mentioned allocation, and then you...
This will have to be the last question that Pete wants me to go. I believe that the fairest way to deal with the energy policy is to exempt from price increases of the kind the President contemplates residual fuel oil and home heating fuel, which so materially damages the Northeast. And I believe that as to the elasticity of demand in gasoline, we have to go to an allocation system, as we did, which was the cure to the gas lines at the beginning of 1974. And we have to put a big premium on small cars and low gas consumption. And in addition, as you know, I wish to make a Manhattan Project of Project Independence and telescope it in 3 years instead of 10 and spend what it takes. In my judgment, would be the best investment our country ever made.
Senator, the President has proposed cutting back Medicaid payments to New York State by 25%. Do you think Congress will buy this, and what's your position on it?
Well, I don't think Congress will buy it. It goes, as I say, to how you allocate within the budget.
Senator, President Ford doesn't really know that.